The sound of a theremin is most commonly associated with the arrival of a flying saucer in a movie or a creeping monster, hypnosis, other signs of paranormal activity. Not the sort of thing we're listening to right now, a composition by Rob Schwimmer called Waltz for Clara. But theremin virtuosos Dorit Kreisler and Rob Schwimmer demonstrate that the instrument is actually expressive, versatile, and pretty much totally misunderstood in their performances. And then on the 16th at Joe's Pub, the 16th is
17th.
What? The 17th. Okay.
Tomorrow.
So that's tomorrow. Yeah. Dorit and Rob, along with Scott Robinson, will perform solo works, collaborations, and a rendition of Bernard Herrmann's movie score for The Day the Earth Stood Still. Both Dorit and Rob are members of the New York Theremin Society. I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Great to be here.
Rob, you brought a theremin to the studio today. I'm looking at a box that has a bunch of knobs, and I'm seeing is an antenna. Is there an antenna there?
What yes, is? Yes. Well, pitch antenna, and this is a volume loop on this side.
So you have one on each side.
Yes.
Can you demonstrate how that works? Do you have to do they just automatically adjust to what you're doing?
They fight you all the way, but in a very pleasant way, hopefully. Let me show you, and Dorit can tell you what's happening while I move around, all right?
You're playing with electromagnetic waves, aren't you, Dorit?
Yes. So electromagnetic fields are being created. One around the pitch antenna and one that you can hear right now and one for the volume rod. The system is called heterodyning system. So the closer your hand goes to the pitch antenna, the higher the pitch. And the volume, it's exactly the opposite way. When you have your hand on the volume rod, it's quiet, and the further you lift it up. So you have one vertical and one horizontal electromagnetic field.
I'd imagine it's difficult. Well, I mean, right now we're hearing somewhere over the rainbow,
yes.
and Rob's hands are just up in the air, just moving around on the air. It looks like, it seems to me, it might even be more difficult to stay in tune than it is on a string bass, which has no frets.
It's if you can think of a fretless bass that has no strings or no neck, it's a little bit more like that. Yeah, I mean, it's constant adjustment, you know, fixing, you know, constant adjustment because you're just moving in the air. You have to hear where your note is and fix your hand.
And the right hand has to know what the left hand is doing at all times?
I mean, personally, I don't think a theremin is harder to play than, let's say, a violin. But because the instrument is so much less established in the pantheon of instruments, I guess less people put in the effort of really practicing it with the same fervor to get to the same level.
Well, how many hours do you need to actually get to that point?
I think you just have to approach it like any other instrument and do your scales.
Well, in the case of the violin, and there, since you bring that up, an important part of whether you're a good violinist or not is your tone.
Yes.
But can you control tone here, or is pretty much the instrument that controls the tone?
I think it's more you than the instrument that really gives the color to the tone. It's really in the volume. And so it is the slightest motion of your body. And the theremin is really one of the few instruments that I think translates the personality of its player really well, because it is your body being the conductor.
But in the case of the violin, you're touching the instrument at all times. Here you're not touching the instrument. You can also feel the vibrations of the wood, and each violin is different because it is made out of a different piece of wood. Here you have an instrument that is made, it's metal box with stuff inside.
It's a crazy thing. You know, I mean, you just imagine, though, I'm going off to the left slightly, but the moment that theremin thought, oh, we can make an instrument out of electricity, you know, this lightning bolt striking going, We can make an instrument out of electricity. So, okay, you know, there's no, wood from Cremona here or anything like that. But
there's no Stradivarius type.
Well, there are considered the ones that he made, like in the, you know, in the 20s and the 30s, the very old ones with tubes, you know, are super highly sought after.
Are they better, or just simply is it the historic aspect that makes them valuable?
Every instrument, every theremin sounds completely different, and there is high and low quality, and it very much depends, I think, on the capacity of especially the volume rod. And depending on that, I mean, I would recognize each theremin model on its sound.
And the tone is different from, yeah. And it is happy in a, I mean, it's happy in an electronic environment. I could show you something, for example.
There's a lot of electricity here, microphones and all of that.
Well,
does that affect it?
Everything affects it. It's a finicky but fabulous thing. So I brought a pedal that you can hear. It'll change the sound just for an example.
It's like a wah-wah pedal?
Well, it's, here's the regular. So straight sound.
You can send the theremin through any kind of effect pedal. You can loop it. There's a lot of different stuff you can do with it.
It often sounds like a human voice, mm-hmm. and I assume that's part of the appeal, some things that you can do with it that you probably couldn't do with any other instrument. But when Leon Theremin patented the device in 1928, what was the response at the time? Were people, did they think, wow, this is great, or did they think this is too weird to even consider?
Well, I think they tried to promote it as a house instrument, as easy playable as the home organ, and they very quickly found out that, you know, it just wasn't so. It was expensive for its time, and it was hard to play.
And it came out right before the stock market crash, which didn't help anything. But they advertised it as, now anyone can play music with just a wave of your hand, which is certainly not the case.
Well, we talked about how it's like a fretless bass in some ways. Are you playing by ear, in effect? I mean,
that's
just have to know where your hand is, has to be at all times?
That is all you have. Mm-hmm. That's all you have.
How do you compose for an instrument like that?
Yeah, well, it depends upon your player. I mean, if you're player is good, you can compose it pretty much like any other instrument.
Have any major composers composed for the theremin?
Messiaen
did? No, Messiaen was Hans Martineau. But
Messiaen was just messing around.
The Hollywood, if you're going to consider, you know, someone like Miklos Rosa or Bernard Herrmann as major composers. Now, I know recently some people have been writing pieces, you know, modern classical composers that are including theremin.
It would urgently need more contemporary composers actually knowing what the theremin is capable of and writing for it.
I thought Shostakovich wrote something for it.
He on that first, it was one of the earliest Russian films. Hmm. I think it translates to Alone, but in Russian, I forget what it was. But yeah, he didn't really, honestly, having heard it, I don't think he really knew quite what he was dealing with there. But
he didn't understand
the
possibilities.
I don't know if the possibilities were really understood at that point. You know, it was pretty pretty early on in the, you know, I mean, most instruments have a long, you know, period, you know, through they discover what can be done and, you know, where we are in the evolution of the instrument. So early on, it's rough with a new instrument.
But I suspect from what you just said and from what I know that it's been most popular with people composing for the movies.
It works well for the movies. It's very well, it has a historic tradition. That's when it was first applied in popular music. And I think because it's one of the very few, well, it's the only electronic instrument that actually has a very emotional, if not to say dramatic, quality, which applies itself to the, you know, creating moods and drama for cinematic soundscapes.
Plus, you'll be performing music from The Day the Earth Stood Still tomorrow at Joe's Pub.
Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do
it. Is that one of the great pieces?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the great sci-fi pieces, and we're going to do it as a trio, which the thereminists almost never do. We're going to do that, and that's going to go into Carlotta's Portrait by Bernard Herrmann from Vertigo.
So Herrmann, did he compose for the theremin?
Yes.
Well, yes, in The Day the Earth Stood Still, but we are stealing the one from Vertigo that did not have theremin.
And we have a video on our show page of you playing that music from Vertigo.
Ah.
The Led Zeppelin also used the theremin on a few tracks, I understand. But I always thought that the instrument on the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations was a theremin. Is that true?
They actually were using their finger on a slider. What was it called?
The guy's name was Paul Tanner.
Right.
And, they were having trouble, having it be in tune enough. I spoke to Al Jardine of the Beach Boys about this. And he said, he wasn't there when they actually recorded it. But Paul Tanner made this instrument which kind of imitated the theremin and sort of sounded like it. And that's what they wound up using.
They just had markings on the slider so they knew exactly where to put the finger position.
Now, Rob, you've worked with Willie Nelson, Stevie Wonder, Chaka Khan, toured with Simon and Garfunkel. What would Willie Nelson want you to do? Can you duplicate slide guitar?
Well, no.
Could you give us a demonstration?
No. I'm a keyboard player. So a lot of these things I'm playing keyboards on. So I wasn't playing theremin with Willie Nelson. But I did play theremin.
I was getting worried.
Well, yeah, should be.
He can't be weird.
Yeah. So still, yeah. No. But I played with Simon and Garfunkel. I played the instrumental from The Boxer, the da, 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 da. So I played that on theremin.
Can you show us? I'm sorry, it's just we have this instrument set up here, and I feel we should be playing it a bit more. If you can do that, then Simon doesn't need Garfunkel anymore to do the high parts. Is it mostly in that range? How wide a range?
It has up to five octaves.
Yeah.
So it has a wide range.
I often associate theremins with big boxes. Has the technology advanced since the 20s? Yeah. Are they getting smaller?
Well, actually, there's a new instrument by Moog Music called the Theremini. And it goes beyond the basic technology of a theremin. And that one, as that you can use the mechanism of how to generate the sound by not touching anything, but you can trigger all these presets. And that one is built very small and light and solid.
Well, you just changed the complete quality of the sound you turned a button, a knob there?
Well, I just tuned it down so we could hear the low range. I mean, it goes all the way down to where it breaks up into beats.
This is called calibration. You actually can set the size of your electromagnetic field and how many octaves the range you want to have when you play.
Let's play a little bit of something that you have performed, Dorit, Then I want to thank you all. You'll be tomorrow night at Joe's Pub performing on the theremin with one of your other collaborators, Dorit Kreisler and Rob Schwimmer. Thank you both so much for being on our show.